सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावतीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति 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 निशांत वर्सेस 36-40 चैप्टर 1 निहत्यदार्तराश्वानः का प्रीतिस्या जनार्दन पापमेवाश्रयेदस्मान् अद्वैतानाततायिनः निहत्यदातराश्रानः का प्रीतिस्या जनार्दन पापमेवाश्रयेदस्मान् अद्वैतानाततायिनः तस्मानार्हा वयं हन्तुम् दातराश्वान् स्वबान्धवान् स्वजनं हि हतं हत्वा सुखिनस्याम माधव तस्मानाहावयं हन्तुं दातराश्वान् स्वबान्धवान् स्वजनं हि कतं हत्वा सुखिनस्याममाधव यद्यप् एतेन पश्यन्ति लोभोपहत चेतसः कुलक्षयकृतं दोषं मित्रद्रोहे च पातकम् यद्यप्येतेन पश्यन्ति लोभोपहत चेतसः कुलक्षयकृतं दोषं मित्रद्रोहे च पातकम् कथं न ज्ञेयमस्माभिः पापादस्मानि वर्तितुम् कुलक्षयकृतं दोषं प्रपश्यद्भिर्जनार्दन कथं न ज्ञेयमस्माभिः पापादस्मानि वर्तितुं कुलक्षयकृतं दोषं प्रपश्यद्भिर्जनार्दन कुलक्षये प्रणश्यन्ति कुलधर्मा सनातनाः धर्मे नष्टे कुलं कृत्स्नम् अधर्मो विभवत्युत कुलक्षये प्रणश्यन्ति कुलधर्मा सनातनाः धर्मे नष्टे कुलं कृत्स्नम् अधर्मो विभवत्युत From Arjuna's words in verse number 33, 34, 35, we clearly come to understand that he is not termed non-violent. His problem is the problem of attachment. He is terribly attached to his guru, Dronacharya, and his great grandfather, Bhishma Pitamaha, and some of his relatives. So since it is his own kith and kin standing on the other side, he is refusing to fight. Yet, he doesn't realize that, and he comes forth with something which he believes is logical. It's not logical. So he says, for those whose sake we desire kingdom, enjoyments and pleasures, they stand here in battle, having renounced their riches and lives. These I do not wish to kill, though killed by them, O Madhusudana. Even for the sovereignty of the three worlds. So in other words, Arjuna's mind has not completely risen above the material world. Even though he is talking as if he can walk away from all this and go to Himalayas, sit in meditation, as though his only goal in life is to realize the self. That is exactly what he is trying to put forth, but that is not the state in which he is now. So he cannot walk away. Even if he goes to Himalayas, it is his rajasic mind that will come back. Unless you have become sattvic, you cannot do spiritual pursuit 24 hours, 365 days. You have not become that contemplative yet. He is still a man of action. So a man of action, if he remains quiet, sits down, doing no action, will he be able to sit down like that? His desires will not allow him to sit like that. Even if he does, then he will only turn into an hypocrite. So therefore, one must engage oneself into action, because there is so much of desires within. When there is so much of desires burbling within your bosom, you are supposed to give your desires a direction. You must act in the world and rise above the desires and then turn contemplative. He is not yet turned contemplative, so Lord Krishna cannot recommend him to do that. So he has to remain in the world, rise above the world, and that's how one must go towards the self. So without understanding all this, he is talking as if he is a man of renunciate. Verse number 36. Nihatyadatarashranaha Nihatyadatarashranaha Kapritisya janardhana Papa mevashrayedasmam Hatvaitanatatayinaham Nihatyadartarashranaham Kapritisya janardhanam Papa mevashrayedasmam Hatvaitanatatayinaham
What pleasure is there in slaying the sons of Dhritarashtra? O Janardana, O protector of people, O Krishna, sin alone will accrue to us by killing these desperados. See, he is blowing hot and cold. Firstly, he says, what pleasure is there in slaying the sons of Dhritarashtra? When he says the sons of Dhritarashtra, it only speaks the distance he has for them mentally. Otherwise, he would have said, for my cousin or brother. He just says, sons of Dhritarashtra. It shows that distance is there in his mind. Number one. Number two, he says, sin alone will accrue to us by killing these desperados. Sin alone can accrue to you if you kill a noble soul, not a desperado. Smriti tells us that a desperado who is, a desperado is defined as one who attempts to set fire to somebody's house, who tries to take away somebody's wealth, land, wife, who tries to attack someone with weapon, someone who is unarmed with weapon, etc. Robbing somebody's money, all these kind of sins. Such people, even Smriti says, should be destroyed, should be killed. That will not bring about sin. See, firstly we need to understand, sin is not in action, it is in the reaction. What intention is there within? Per se, when a doctor plunges a knife in somebody's body to save that person, that cannot be termed a sin, even though the physical action is plunging the knife in somebody's body. The same action of plunging a knife in somebody's body by a murderer, that is sinful. So action per se cannot be termed sinful. Here Arjuna is not clear about this fact. In his mind he is talking about the physical action of causing harm to somebody else's body as sinful. And those people whom he calls, he himself believes they are desperados, because they have done all these crimes, not only one or two of all that we mentioned, they have done all the crimes. They try to set fire to Pandava's palace, they try to kill them, they try to poison them, you know, they try to take away Draupadi, they did everything, not just one of the crimes. Such people are like cancer in the body. The cancerous cell, when it is removed, the remover is not committing a sin. The doctor who removes the cancerous cells from the body of the patient is not committing a sin. So the duty of a kshatriya, for warrior, is exactly like a doctor. The cancerous individuals in a society needs to be removed. And a battle for that reason is a wonderful opportunity to remove the cancerous individuals from the society. That a kshatriya should deliver his duty objectively. Here Arjuna is not understanding all this. As we said before, he is turned completely emotional. His mind is taken over. He is not able to think precisely. Therefore he is talking all this. From his point of view, he is talking logic. But when you look at it objectively, you clearly see that it is the prattling of a disturbed individual. So he says, sin alone will accrue to us by killing these desperados. When you do not take corrective measures to eliminate the corrupt individuals, the cancerous individuals from the society, when that is your obligation, then you are committing a sin. One has to pay for both omissions and commissions. Law of karma will function if you do what you ought not to do. You will have to face the consequence. If you don't do what you ought to do, then also you will have to face the consequence. Duryodhana, the Kauravas, they are doing what they ought not to do. They will have to face the consequence. Arjuna will face sin when, as a kshatriya, he doesn't do what he is supposed to do, which is to stand up and fight. So here in the context, it is the duty of Lord Krishna to explain to Arjuna that sin will not only come to Duryodhana and the Kauravas because they are doing what they are not supposed to do. You will also be committing sin if you don't do what you ought to do.
Would he like Krishna to Krishna is telling Arjuna to fight the sin, not the sinner. It's more
exactly.
It's the battle of Dhari, because
yes.
he and God.
Yes.
Not Duryodhana or Krishna.
Exactly.
So other than just him having like this confusion in his mind, is not just about the attachment for Rona and Krishna. It is also he has hatred for Duryodhana as an individual. He's not just seeing Duryodhana as he's committed crime and I'm fighting the sin, but he does seem to have a negative, like a hatred personally for Duryodhana.
Absolutely. Arjuna is not someone who is totally objective.
Yeah.
So he does go by the behavior and character of the people, and based on that he might have certain hatred in him.
But
he's not somebody who is risen above where he has no hatred for anybody. He's not of that kind of a level. Definitely not.
It's not like he is right now not fighting just for that's the right thing to do, because these people have done sin.
No, in his mind he is very clear they are desperados.
Yeah.
He himself is mentioning it here.
Yeah.
Right. But he is confused in believing that by fighting against them, causing injury to them, eliminating them, he is performing sin. He wants to be made sure.
He wants to down to their level. You know, that's one of the thinking one often has. Like, if they are mean, why should you also be mean? Doesn't that? I mean,
you're not being mean. You're not going down to that level. And
fighting by, kind of what infliction.
No. Firstly, please understand this. I think we mentioned this before also in the context here. Beware of entrance to a quarrel. Being in, beareth that the enemy beware of thee. You firstly try to maintain a hygiene environment so that disease doesn't come. Prevention is better than cure. But in spite of all your hygiene, if the disease comes, then you need to deal with it. By merely closing your eyes, saying all this what you are saying, you are not going to stop the disease. In fact, it will become further strengthened. You understand? A lot of us, firstly, don't lead a hygienic lifestyle. Physically, you may lead a hygienic lifestyle. But at the mental level, the lifestyle as such need not be of that high value. So what happens? All sorts of mental stress and strain do visit. Even at that time, if you don't do anything, then you will obviously lead yourself to destruction. So first, prevention is better than cure. But once, in spite of living that way, if for whatever reason you had to deal with it, you deal with it. Not by stooping to their level. Stooping to their level would be taking a revenge. Here you are not taking a revenge. Mentally you should rather have no hatred. You just, without hatred, do your duty. That's not a revenge.
Yeah, but it's much easier said than done. You are taking revenge because they have done injustice to you. And you are not in that state where you can have hatred separate and revenge separate.
If you have not reached that level, at least understanding that I have not reached that level is definitely better. But still continue doing what you do at the physical level. Continue developing towards that stage where you can fight it out without revenge.
Without
having a revengeful attitude. Without having hatred. See, what I am trying to say is, we are not developed to that level.
No, but how do we develop to that level?
That's exactly the attempt here. Studying the Gita, following a certain sadhana, lifestyle, converting your life into a Vedantic lifestyle, which is not giving up things. Right? Changing your attitude, which will take place with the knowledge going in. When the knowledge slowly seeps into you, the attitude will change. When the attitude changes, then you will be able to do the actions without hatred. So what I am trying to tell you is, or rather scripture is telling us, now you are in a situation where you do have hatred. Okay, fine. At least understand that now, I am not at a sage. I am not at the level of Krishna. This itself is a great thing, because I realize and I admit to myself. But the situation is such that I need to fight. So I say, I deliver my attitude and everything at the feet of Lord. I say, oh God, I do have this hatred. Please take me to a stage where I will get rid of this hatred. But at the moment the situation is such that I will have to deal with it. Probably, which is to take weapons and fight. I do admit I have hatred. But my intention is to go beyond this hatred. This itself is much better than not even realizing that I have hatred and trying to justify. But the fact remains that it is so important for you to act. Just because I have a hatred, I cannot wait for me to become Buddha and then take steps. It has to go simultaneously. He does fight after Lord Krishna explains to him, gives him the knowledge.
And the other option, just to throw it out, supposing he adopted the method of sacrifice, just don't want to deal with it, I don't want to stoop to anything, just let me sacrifice anything, call it escapism or whatever, but rather than get into the negativity, not deal with the character of it, and sacrifice everything.
That will be suppression.
Suppression.
See, that's exactly the point. Like Swamiji says, if a businessman goes to Himalayas to be in an ashram for 2 days or 3 days or a week, within that time he will see a fantastic opportunity there to start a Himalayan silk sari shop. Because his nature, vasanas, even if he goes to Himalayas, after a while it will come back. Like I said last week, when anybody will come here now, they will see, oh, what a great individuals they are. Very highly sattvic people. It's not as though we are all extremely sattvic. We also have our rajasic content and tamasic content. Probably the sattva is very little. So 10:45 to 12, on Tuesdays, it manifests. The other days, in the mornings when we study maybe. Little bit sattva is there. But throughout the day, you cannot do that. So if you try to lead such a life, you will only be putting yourself into suppression. And that's even more dangerous. In fact, a lot of us push our anger, our hatreds and everything deep inside and suppress ourselves. That comes up as some physical ailments also. Physical disease, all sorts of frustrations, nonsense, everything happens. We just push it. Like you wanted to say something, you will not say. Okay? You will push it. You think, okay, I've dealt with it. You have not dealt with anything. You've just pushed it deep inside. It's not just one or two instances. I don't know how much you would have lost count by now. So many things you would have suppressed. Instead of sublimating, you will suppress. Sublimation is a combination of action and knowledge. Sublimation is possible only through a combination of action, experience and knowledge.
But like this, one has read and studied that it is noble to give up. It is not.
You cannot give up. Giving up at the mental level.
Rather than getting into
somebody
else's. No, it's like this. See, somebody is decided he doesn't want to get married. But throughout he or she is thinking of a partner. It's better to get married and keep his mind empty rather than keep his mind occupied and physically free.
Like one example which happened to me yesterday. Somebody I tried to help. Instead of saying yes or help me, she's blaming me only that my work hasn't got done, your people haven't done. And I'm getting irritated, here I'm trying to help somebody, going out of my way, and she's blaming my person. And I told her, no, you didn't give me all the information, so how could I do the work? It's still in my mind. Now I don't know whether, I wanted to tell her that I should forget it. I mean, I tried to tell her a little bit. I mean, I didn't want to pick up a fight. But it's still in my mind. See, I tried to help her, and she is shouting at me only, your fellow, not done anything, I'm stuck. Well, it's her fault, she didn't give me. What do I do in such a situation? I did try to tell her, she's telling me, no, I gave all my papers, I gave all the correct papers, and your fellow didn't mess up. Well, I know for a fact she didn't give all the papers, how can anybody do anything? Yeah, I mean, it's still, I'm trying to get it out of my mind, but it keeps coming back into my mind.
That is because you have personalized that experience. Having said what you have to say, right, you still feel, why did she tell that to me? The ego is hurt. So this clearly tells us that I still have ego. I still have that, I still don't have the capacity to be objective or not to get involved. Therefore, I'll have to get back to my daily sadhana. Slowly, as I gain knowledge, I will be able to get out of this impression within me. Why did she have to say this to me? But that will take time. But if you had not even said that, for example, supposing you had not expressed, excuse me, I can understand if it's my fault, but you had not provided me this information. If you had not even said that, you would be even more in a miserable condition. No, that's a different, whether you do it yourself, whatever. Something you had expressed. So what I'm saying is,
one still does sometimes. But then I ask myself, I sit by myself, I do a little bit of home, and then I ask myself, a little bit of introspection, that did I do right or wrong? Okay, I haven't done anything wrong, now that's that person's problem.
Yeah.
It's the only way one can throw it out of one's system. You know?
See.
You don't want to fight in our societies, you can't pick up a fight or anything.
So he's not trying to tell you.
I haven't done anything wrong, now that's her problem.
He is not trying to tell you to pick up fights, but when an external action becomes a must and you don't take that action and suppress it, when you actually want to do it but you don't do it, you think that by that way you can develop love, by that way you cannot develop love. Therefore, no, the point is simple. When, even after having said this, you still feel this, you understand, I am still in the level where I get involved. Therefore, I do analysis, I take higher intellect guidance and all that to deal with it temporarily. But permanently, what will bring about the solution is the gaining of this knowledge. Not information. When you keep this sadhana continuing, slowly this knowledge becomes one's own, then you will see, to that extent you will not get involved. Many times what happens is, you go to help somebody, but you come back agitated. So you need to find out whether I have the capacity to firstly help somebody. That's why when you travel in the aircraft, they tell you, at times of emergency, when the oxygen mask falls down, you first help yourself and then help the children or adults or anybody else. Firstly, you must become strong. That's why we keep on harping on this, that this is a must. You must become strong. Without becoming strong, if you go to help somebody, like you do not know swimming. You simply jump into the swimming pool to help somebody when he or she is going to drown. You will, along with him, you will also drown. In fact, you will make the situation worse. Are you with me? So, you realize now that I went to help without having the ability to be objective. Well, I took it for granted that I went, because I go to help somebody, they will be grateful to me. Not necessary. You understand? In fact, if you ask ourselves, how much are we really grateful to this nature? If we were grateful to this nature, would we be running the air conditioner just like that? You understand? We are just not, it's not even occurring to us.
We are destroying the nature so much. Isn't it? So, when, in fact it's coming up, when we point out fingers at others, we are actually having the same blemish. It is just that, here what is happening, the example that you have given is, you went to help somebody, instead of being grateful, they are now cursing you. They are pointing fingers at you. That has hurt you. Why it has hurt? Because you were expecting gratitude, at the least you were not expecting this. And that has hurt you. So if you analyze after that, you will be able to tackle. If you go to some higher intellect, it will help you. Permanently you will be able to go to that extent where you will be able to help objectively only by knowledge seeping in your personality. So therefore, every day sadhana is a must. Like I told you, morning time is yours. Don't give it to anybody else. Which is to strengthen yourself. Children are sent to school, the society takes care of them, the parents takes care of them till the age of 20, 25, 27, 30, whatever, till whenever, till you know, whether graduation or post-graduation, whatever they're studying. They are only taking, that is to make themselves strong. Once they have become strong, it is time for them to contribute, give. Similarly, every day, 2 to 3 hours, early hours of the day, you must give yourself to strengthen your personality. Then you will be able to tackle this permanently. At the moment, temporarily, you can analyze, reflect, or go to a higher intellect, like you are discussing here. You can do this and tackle it. But just by that, it will not go. The knowledge has to seep in.
I have another question. Should I not discuss?
No, that's okay. You can ask if it's related. If it's related, you ask. That's okay.
Now he's in this state of mind, like all of us, always on this side. Supposing, just a hypothetical thing, he had got out of this state. He was in a state of awareness, consciousness, and not in a state of confusion, it was clarity and.
He wouldn't have even started this discussion.
Let's say, after the discussion, okay, after the discussion, he gets a state of consciousness. Then, what if one considers the option of not fighting them with the state of realization? Not
that's fine.
Confusion.
That's fine.
That's okay.
A realized state, after realized state, you can either be like Krishna or be like Buddha. Doesn't matter.
So then in a realized state, choosing not to fight is all right.
Yeah. Because wherein the world itself doesn't exist. So therefore, both the options are possible. Buddha, see, I gave the example of Buddha and Krishna. It's not as though Buddha is incapable of fighting. Buddha chose not to do that. Krishna chose to do it. But both, as the inner state goes, they are in the same level. There's no difference. Same thing with Christ. So all these people, once you reach the center, the self within, thereafter, you are not going to be sitting and discussing like this, how Arjuna is discussing with Krishna. You are all knowledge. You take the steps. If you have to, if you feel you should fight, you will fight. If you feel it's okay, you will not fight, you will not fight. Like Buddha walked out. See, Arjuna and all these people did not walk away from the palace to the forest. They were very much interested in being there. They were thrown out using unjust methods. So they are not someone who had risen above. This needs to be understood. That is why you have Brahmacharya ashrama, Grahastha ashrama, Vanaprastha ashrama, and then Sannyasa ashrama. In Brahmacharya ashrama, students who went to the Gurukul, they were studying all the scriptures. Just because they had studied all the scriptures doesn't mean that they had gained this knowledge. No. You go through the experiences, follow a sattvic lifestyle, legitimately you give vent to your desires, but continue your sadhana. Over a period of time, you rise above the desires mentally. Then, even though you are in the world, in the family, your mind still goes towards the higher things in life. then you are called vanaprastha. You slowly delegate things to others and you focus more on reflecting, researching on, contemplating on the higher values of life. Then you may take a call, I need to do it full time, and then you may decide to take up a sannyasi lifestyle or continue like vanaprastha. But if you try to short circuit the whole thing, it doesn't work. You are suppressing. You understand? He is very much affected. That is precise.
If he chooses to give up everything, he is still going to be affected that, oh, I have to give up, or these people were wrong to me. That is still, it is going to affect him. That is why it is still suppression.
Yeah.
If it was not affecting him at all, as it didn't matter at all,
absolutely,
then it would be okay to move.
Then it didn't matter to him, he would have fought the battle, or he would have chosen, instead of wasting my time, I will go and do my other kind of work, you know. Whatever that was. The problem is deep inside, he has not overcome all this. So without overcoming all this, if he walks away, then it becomes escapism.
And if there was realization, then it's fine. What's the option?
Yeah.
Sometimes leaders in the family feel good or feel happy that they've given up. That is a good thing.
You know, listen, many people, they say that they feel happy having given it away. Like we saw last week, it could either be rajasic renunciation, false justification. Many a times, external level people pretend to be happy. Deep inside, when an opportunity comes up, they would like to take it up. If they are really sacrificed, then it's fine. If you are in that level, in fact, a person who has really sacrificed, it won't even occur to him that he had given it away. If he is celebrating, it's 1 year since I gave up. That means he is not given it up. He is still, you know, mentally. The whole problem, usually Vedanta is accused of taking you away from your occupation. That's why a lot of people are scared. Oh, don't go to Vedanta now. After 60, it's okay. Not before that. Because they feel that it will take you away from your occupation. But if you really understand Vedanta, Vedanta will not take you away from your occupations. It will take you away from your preoccupations. That's the important thing to be noted. It will take you away from your preoccupations. We are mentally preoccupied. In fact, idle mind is devil's workshop. Simply sitting down and constantly thinking of this and that, mentally having so much of desires and physically not directing those desires and rising above it. It becomes a bundle of nonsense, you know. Just mentally lingers and strengthens the desires further, but doesn't do anything physically. And desires grow into a monstrous proportion. So therefore, the Krishna's method in Gita is, if you realize you have that nature, you can only rise above that nature by giving a direction to that nature. Don't try to suppress that. Express your nature for the welfare of the whole universe. Thus, you will rise above. Not by suppressing your nature. This suppression happens because of social conditioning or so many other sorts of conditionings that happens. Therefore, what do I do? Oh, I should not do this. I suppress. And that suppression will only lead you to frustrations and it will turn you into a hypocrite and that will further manifests itself as disease at the physical level. You know? And you grow up as a monster for the society. So therefore, if at all Vedanta is against something, it is against suppression. It is for sublimation.
Action with knowledge and suppression is action.
Suppression is no action.
No action.
No action, no knowledge. Nothing. Just push it down deep inside you. It is an escape. You just swallow it. See, when there is some dirt in your system.
Something within you, in your mind, it's not really the external cause. It's something that you are not being able to overcome yourself, which is really bothering you or affecting you. Because if you had overcome that, then it wouldn't bother you or affect you anyway.
Yeah. So the point is, supposing you have anger, you just swallow. You are not expressing it. Nor are you giving vent to your personality by doing some other actions or anything. Just suppress it. Then everybody feels, oh, he or she is a very good person, never shouts, never this thing. So you carry on. But that has gone inside you, it will make its own damage to your personality. And when you get angry, you realize that it's like a volcanic explosion. There is something inside that's coming out. Temporarily the pressure has been released, but still the cause might linger. So you go inside and find out what is the cause and eliminate it. Instead of doing that, if you suppress the anger and never go to the cause and feel good that you had not vented your anger, you are actually doing harm to yourself. In fact, it's more dangerous. Lots of people just suppress. Few indulge. Hardly anybody goes to the cause. All the frustrations and suppressions get manifested and becomes part and parcel of our body. They sit in our body as toxins. That's why when somebody is depressed, you must somehow try to get them to some activity physically. Because when they physically act, the toxins come out. Firstly, whatever has been stored away in the body needs to come out. Then, when they a little bit become available for some psychological knowledge-based treatment, that can be done. Somebody is deeply in depression, you give knowledge, nothing works. So get them to slowly go for a walk, do pranayama, kapalabhati, this and that, let them sweat it out, you know, do some mechanical work, so that slowly at least the stored away toxins get released. Then they open up a little bit. That time you can administer knowledge based therapy. Until then you cannot do that. So the fact remains here in Arjuna's case that he had not overcome all. He is just trying to suppress. Even if he had gone to Himalayas, there he would have killed few people there. So it's a fact. A lot of people, sometimes they ask me, sir, is it okay if we migrate to Canada? We have options, Canada, New Zealand, Australia, especially in Dubai, you know, in the Middle East. After having lived for so many years, now they feel they cannot come back to India. And in the Middle East, they don't get the citizenship. So they do not know. So they feel, okay, we can go to Canada. These are the options. So they ask me, is it okay? I say, listen, there is nothing like okay or not okay. But understand one thing, why you want to do that? What is it that you feel hate in India? What is it that you feel that you will not get in India, which you will get in Canada? If it is peace, P-E-A-C-E, if you feel that by going to India I will not get that, but by going to Canada I will get that, understand you will not get that there also. Why? Because you may leave Dubai, Abu Dhabi and go to Canada. The physical body goes along with the mind. That mind, if it was selfish and it moves into India, it will be agitated. Same mind, if it moves into Canada, even though it's a different place, maybe better organized place, maybe, even though it is a better organized place, then also you will be agitated. Because agitation is to do something with your mind. It's to do nothing, it's got nothing to do with the environment. So it doesn't really matter where you go. What matters is who is going. What is the attitude that you have? If you carry a certain attitude and then go to any environment, it doesn't really matter. You would still be agitated. Wherever you go, you will find fault. You will still be agitated. So if you go there to serve. A lot of people go there because education is free, this is free, that is free. All the time the mental calculation is, I earn this much. If I go to India, I'll have to pay tax, this, this, this. If I go to Canada, these exemptions, I assume, I don't know. These exemptions, usually if you talk to many people, I'm not saying everybody, but many people, somewhere down the line the excuses come that this is free, that is free. A mentality to get things without having to pay for it, with that mentality, wherever you go, you cannot be peaceful. I'm not saying this, Gita is saying it. In the third chapter, he talks about tamasic, rajasic, sattvic. Tamasic people, he says, is one who eats without producing. Rajasic fellow is one who cooks but eats sin. He's desirable. As he's cooking, he's thinking of the fruit. So he's all the time agitated. He's acting, but he's all the time agitated. Sattvic person, he says, is one who enjoys the remnants of sacrifice. Simple. If you even decide from today, I will not take something for which I have not paid for. It's a great value to practice. But today everything comes free. You buy one bucket, mug is free. You understand? Everything, you know, people want things free. So such mentality, such attitudes. If you have the attitude of grabbing, pay for one seat but you want to sit in two seats. If you have that kind of an attitude, then, you know, you cannot be happy. It doesn't matter where you go. It really doesn't matter. It's not the place that brings agitation. It's your mind. So this is exactly what Lord Krishna is also trying to say in Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna, with this mind, he is thinking, imagining that he is somebody who has crossed the temporarily. Where was all this compassion before verse number 21? In 21 he said, let me see you all have come to fight, take the chariot and place it in between both the armies. Before that, where was all this compassion? He had come to the battlefield. Buddha never went to the battlefield. He had come to the battlefield and he wanted to fight. He blew his conscience. He expressed his interest to see who all have come to fight. And suddenly now, a change of heart. This is a conditioning that he is going through. It's Arjuna's conditioned mind. You know, sometimes, like Kabir says, no? Dukh mein simran sabakar. Sukh mein kare na koi. Some problem, something comes, suddenly you find them in Bhagavad Gita class. I will be attending those classes for a few months and everything is going on. Slowly things turn positive, you don't have time for Gita. I'm not talking about coming to class, even at home you don't have time to study. So what does it mean? That temporary situation that has brought about this effect. It's not something that has happened deep inside. Like when somebody suffers from tuberculosis. A treatment plan, I suppose, I was told it's for 1 year or so. But as you take the medicine, within few months you will feel much better. So you may stop the medicines. So the doctors tell you, you cannot. It's not fully gone. In fact, the relapse is even more dangerous. So if you stop it in between, it can come back and that's more dangerous. So therefore they say, they tell the others, other members of the family, even if this person stops it, you make sure that the person completes the course. It's like that. Temporarily you may, Arjuna is feeling like this. But deep inside he is not yet converted. Verse 37. Tasma narhavayam hantum, tasma narhavayam hantum, dhartarashvan swabhandavan, dhartarashvan swabhandavan, swajanam hikatam hatva, swajanam hikatam hatva, sukina syama madhava, sukina syama madhava, tasma narhavayam hantum, dhartarashvan swabhandavan, swajanam hikatam hatva, sukina syama madhava. Therefore, tasmat, it does not behove us to kill the sons of Dhritarashtra, our relatives. For how can we be happy by killing our own kinsman, O Madhava? Who is our own kinsman?
He's the same,
okay. But who actually is our own kinsman? There are different parts in our body. When all the parts in the body function in tandem, together, supplementing and complementing each other, then the different parts of the body are what? Are relative to each other. If one particular part doesn't do what it's supposed to do, or does what it is not supposed to do, which causes damage to the other parts, then does that part still continue to be a relative of the other parts? No. This whole universe is interdependent. Plants give oxygen. Human beings take that oxygen and give back carbon dioxide, which the plants take. We are interdependent. If human beings stop what they are supposed to do, then that person, that individual or that society cannot be considered as somebody part of the nature. They are there knowingly or unknowingly causing damage to the total. Therefore, they need to be coaxed to come back or eliminated. No. Are you with me? One of the things that they talk about when they do kidney transplant is somebody else's kidney, when it's transplanted in the patient, they have to make sure that it matches. Otherwise it's even more dangerous. So here Duryodhana and the Kauravas are like those set of parts, but have their own individual agenda, are not understanding the interdependent, the value of interdependence. They are trying to have their own agenda. How can such people be considered? You can try, they tried all the methods. It's not as though they did not try all those methods. They tried Sambhande. After discussions, after everything, nothing happened. Then what is the only solution left? To eliminate. At least to prevent the rest. Otherwise the whole thing will go corrupt. So here Arjuna's argument doesn't stand in the context. When he says therefore, tasmat, is as though he is coming to a logical conclusion. It's a disturbed mind coming to a conclusion. It's not a logical conclusion. When Lord Krishna uses tasmat, tasmat, tasmat everywhere, you will see he comes to a logical conclusion. A disturbed chap also uses tasmat, therefore, but it is not a conclusion. So therefore it does not behove us to kill the sons of Dhritarashtra. One sentence he says, sons of Dhritarashtra. Other sentence he says, relatives. You can clearly see the split personality in Arjuna. For how can we be happy by killing our own kinsmen? Only a mad fellow will attempt to kill somebody who is doing good to himself. Somebody who is doing good to me, why will I try to kill them? And secondly, here the matter is not one's personal happiness. It is not that the Arjuna, Yudhishthira, all these Pandavas had gone to war for one's personal happiness. So the happiness comes by removing that which causes disturbance, not by closing your eyes on it. If you have some bacterial infection, you need to do something to get rid of that bacteria from your system, those set of bacteria from your system. Instead of that, if you keep your eyes closed, wait for it to go away, it will multiply and further destroy the whole body and you will perish one day. If you have gone to the extent of seeing your body as your body and not as yourself, is risen to that height of self-realization, for example, then if the body goes away, it doesn't bother you. But today it bothers you. Therefore, you must take care of it. So all these arguments of Arjuna falls flat. Verse number 38 and 39 will chant together. Yadyat etena pashyanti, yadyat etena pashyanti, लोभोपहतचेतसः कुलक्षयकृतं दोषं मित्रद्रोहे च पातकम् यद्यत् एतेन पश्यन्ति लोभोपहतचेतसः कुलक्षयकृतं दोषं मित्रद्रोहे च पातकम् कथम न ज्ञेयमस्माभिः कथम न ज्ञेयमस्माभिः पापादस्मानि वर्तितुम् कुलक्षयकृतं दोषं प्रपश्यद्गिर्जनार्दनाम् कथम न ज्ञेयमस्माभिः पापादस्मानि वर्तितुम् कुलक्षयकृतं दोषं प्रपश्यद्भिर्जनार्दनाम्। although these with intelligence overwhelmed by greed see no evil in the destruction of the family and sin in treachery to friends, O Janardana, why should not we who clearly see evil in the destruction of the family learn to turn away from this sin? He is including Lord Krishna also. We see when he says, although these with intelligence overwhelmed by greed see no evil in the destruction of the family, the statement may be true that Duryodhana and Parthi, they don't see evil in the destruction of the family because their intelligence is overpowered by their greed. When Arjuna is able to see this fact that Duryodhana's intelligence is overwhelmed by greed, he is not able to see the fact that his intelligence is overpowered by attachment. Are you with me? This is what we need to note here. Usually, you are able to see even a small blemish of others very clearly. A huge blemish within you, you cannot see. You don't see. You fail to see. So in the poem Turkey and the Ants, the poet says, Turkey got fed up with daily food. So it went to the garden to eat the ants along with the young ones. The young ones were scared. So the turkey mother bird says, don't get scared, eat them, they are very tasty. When they are indulging in killing millions of ants, suddenly it becomes insecure and makes a statement and says, our life is so blessed, but human beings kill us during Christmas and they prey on us. So the poet finally concludes by saying, the turkey is criticizing human beings for killing them on a Christmas day. But what is the turkey doing? As it is criticizing, it is killing millions of ants. So that's exactly what I said then also. When you say that that person whom I try to help, instead of being grateful, they are actually blaming me, are you not doing the same thing? Instead of being grateful to the nature for having provided us so many things, millions of things, we are still complaining. Ye teek nahi hai, wo nahi hai, ye nahi hai. From the time we are born till the time we die, innumerable things are provided to us. If the gravitational force is not functioning, can we survive? If oxygen supply is not there, can we function? None of us are paying the oxygen bill. Only when you are admitted in the ICU, then you pay. There are millions of things like that. Am I grateful to all of those things? No. On top of it, I am also complaining that this nature has not provided me, that has not been given to me. Instead of being grateful, there is a list of complaints. So the poet says, here you remark another sin. Quit thine own conscience and look within. Control thy more voracious bill, nor for a breakfast nation spill. In the sense, ere you remark, before you remark other person's sin, bid thy own conscience and look within. Usually when you look within, you will have the same blemish much more strengthened in you, much more strong in you. Control thy more voracious will, not for a breakfast nation skill. Means you are killing a nation of ants for breakfast. What about lunch and dinner and 365 days in between meals? All that if you calculate, millions of ants you are destroying. And you are complaining about human being killing one turkey, and 8 or 9 fellows eat one turkey in one day in Christmas. That you are making. There you remark another sin with thine own conscience and look within. Control thy more voracious will, not for a breakfast nation skill. Your mouth. Not for a breakfast bill, not for a breakfast nation skill. It's always easy to see fault in others, isn't it? As though we are all angels. There is much more faults lying within me. So Arjuna, who is clearly able to see the fault of Duryodhana, he is not able to see his own fault here. And not only that, an extroverted mind also not realizes that it doesn't know, but on the contrary, it is very strongly believing that it's clear. So he says, why should we not look clearly see? Another poem, six blind men, an elephant. The six blind men went to see what an elephant looks like. Firstly, they are blind, and they go to see what an elephant looks like. One fellow touched the side of the elephant and he said, it is very, very clear, elephant is like a wall. One fellow touched the tail and he said, even the blind fellow can say, elephant is like a rope. One fellow touched the trunk and said, deny the fact, who can? Elephant is very like a snake. One fellow touched the ears and he says, elephant is like a fan. Each one came to their own conclusion. Similarly, in spiritual field, if you see, God is something that is infinite. With finite equipments of the body, man, intellect, we try to understand God. It's impossible. And each one comes to some conclusion and fights with each other. This madness is going on. Not only they do not know, but on the contrary, they are very sure. So the tamasic intellect sees everything ulta and also is very, very sure. It's very strong in its opinion. Strongly opinionated personality. So that is what you see here clearly in Arjuna. He is able to see the greed in Duryodhana, but he is not able to see the attachment in himself. In fact, Vedanta says, there is nothing wrong in the external world. The real problem is within you. The solution is also within you. You need to get to the source within and get rid of the problem called ignorance within. Then, in the very same world, with the very same in-laws, with the very same husband, with the very same wife, with the very same children, with the very same country, with the very same business, you would be peaceful. You can go on changing things externally, but still the problem continues, because the real problem is the problem of introversion. It's the problem of ignorance within. Unless we realize the source of our problem and eliminate that source, how much ever we change outside, nothing will happen. You can go on vacation, you can go and attend Vedanta class, nothing will happen. You must use the Vedanta class, Gita class, to remove the ignorance. If not, merely attending Vedanta classes and celebrating silver jubilee and all that stuff is not going to solve you, your issues. So, trying to change the world without changing oneself is not the solution. If you change oneself, then even if you don't change the world, you would still find yourself in heaven. In fact, a person who has changed himself is the person who is capable of changing the world. Somebody who has control over oneself is the person who can have control over others. What sort of control you can bring about on others when you cannot control yourself? So Vedanta clearly says, look within. Here Arjuna's extroverted mind is speaking. So he is pointing out the blemishes, and also is very clear. Exactly like that 6 blind men of Hindustan. Deny the fact, who can? We are very clear, says Arjuna. It's very clear. Means he is completely closed. He is not yet open. How can you give a lecture to someone who is closed? He not only doesn't know, but he, on the contrary, thinks he knows. Such people, you cannot start the treatment. The surrender has to happen. And only after the surrender happens, the Gita starts. We will end the class today. We will meet again on Tuesday. Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.